Yeah, I'll have a large extra butter popcorn, and she'll have snow caps? Really? Snow caps? They taste like cardboard. Okay.
Come along, it's time for you to listen to the interview from DC to MCU. It's time for Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews.
Because we'll get into it. I'd like to do like a natural just walking into it, just kind of walking is not the right word, but just flow into it. But yeah, we were both talking, and we neither one of us saw this before.
Yeah,
which surprises me because I'm pretty sure I would have watched it way back when. And
yeah,
and so when do you think last time was that you watched it? Probably when you were when it came out in 98 or maybe close. Early 2000s. Yeah.
Dude, I used to go over to my cousin's house all the time, and my aunt would buy, because you know how I think sometimes they would release like either one or two Batman the animated series episodes on VHS.
Yep.
So like she had like Riddler, If You're So Smart, Why Aren't You Rich was like one of them and something else. And I believe she also had this one after it came out. And so like that was definitely the last time I watched it, because I remember watching it today going like, oh my God. Like I haven't seen this in so long. There are some things that are like, wait, what? That doesn't seem like that would fit in that universe. But then there are also certain things where you're like, that's actually really appropriate for that universe, because that's exactly what sort of would happen. I don't know, man. It's been forever. So
also I think it takes place after the series has ended, about 2 years after the series ended, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, you have a little bit of a wiggle room. So I don't remember a lot of the series. I'm listening to a podcast where they're going through every single one. They're currently up to the New Adventures that came out in 2003.
Okay.
You know, the crappy looking Batman art style. Yeah. Everything just changed. Now they're also making fun of it like crazy, but kind of have to.
Is that where like Joker's look completely changed? It was all weird and like,
yeah, Catwoman is gray with a different suit looking, and I think Poison Ivy is now green. I remember watching it way back when, a couple episodes.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of it.
I never watched any of that.
Yeah.
So, I was always more of like the first two seasons are really like
the best.
The seasons.
Yeah.
They are. It's like SpongeBob's, like the first three seasons of SpongeBob are the best. Like, but no, I totally get what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. I mean, because then you get to a certain point where they're just like, we just have to keep telling stories, so they just keep pumping them out and pumping them out. But it's nuts, man.
Going back to the Batman, well, I get that Batman sells, but that was also after, you know, you had Batman animated series, you had Superman the animated series, you had two seasons of Justice League.
Right. The Schumacher films had all come out.
Which I've got some fun facts that ties in with this movie, with the Schumacher films. So
okay, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So Batman is a wellspring. I mean, obviously to this day, Batman still sells. But I don't know. But hey, we're on a brand new Rundown Reviews. We've got Jordan from DC Comics Squadcast. And the brand new Enter the Night podcast.
That is correct. Yes. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun. We get to go through and basically talk about all of the Batman comics from their very first release. I was actually talking with Chris Balga about this the other day, but it's going to be like thinking about it. You're like, yeah, definitely we'll do it. And then you're like going through the old stories and you're like, this is a lot of fun. And then when you sit down and think about it, you're like, oh my God, there are so many issues of Batman that have come out. Like,
well, since 19,
you know, I mean, we've got nothing but time, but still, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, wow. Like that's going to be, I mean, the shorter story, like we all know how the first couple stories are. They're all shorter anyway. And so it's like a little bit
like
easier
14
to discuss.
Pages, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And some of them are real brutal, man. Like Batman hung a guy from one of the bat wings and like, it's just nuts. You're just like, oh, all right.
Luckily, I can hear you and Tim talk about it on the Patreon because I'm a Patreon. So obviously episode 5 just released currently at the time of this recording. But on the Patreon, I think you guys are up to episode like 11 or 12 or something. So
well, we actually have 20. We have 20 in the bank. So okay. We're just slowly putting them out here and there and early access for patrons. So
yeah, which is nice. Yeah, because when we did the origin stories of our heroes.
Oh, those were awesome. Mm-hmm.
We touched on the Batman one. So I feel your pain.
Dude, it's wild. It's a lot of fun though. It especially seeing how well they nailed the character for the most part from the very beginning. It's just like it's crazy to sit back and like, especially with all of us having the hindsight mm-hmm. that we do as to where he is now today, you're just like, wow, a lot of integral parts of who that character and that characterization for that character is supposed to be was just there.
Yeah.
From those very first couple issues. It's nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. Luckily, like I said, you guys are going through the series. We just touched on the origins. So you don't get that. You don't get where they're at now with just the first appearance with a lot of them.
Yeah. I can imagine.
They are.
Let's see, what's one of the ones you guys remember the most?
Well, Spider-Man say fondly or vividly. Spider-Man, actually, that story has been retold constantly,
but it still works.
Yes, but that's why Spider-Man works. But there's ones like
the Superman.
Superman,
who was just an orphan in an orphanage, and everybody at the orphanage knew who he was.
Yep.
With all these powers. But then he leaves.
Then he leaves and becomes Clark Kent and tries to hide his identity. Although he was Clark Kent then.
Yeah, he was Clark Kent in the orphanage.
Yeah, it's just fun.
Who is this amazing man with superpowers? It's too bad that's 1920 and we don't keep any records.
Right?
1938, it was different. 1920 was this movie.
Oh, that's right. Well, hey, 1920, but also 1980. But also 1950.
Yeah, that's the big thing. You can never, with the Batman animated series, you cannot pin down a actual timeline, an actual date, which isn't a bad thing. But also, when you're trying to be to put the technology together, well, it just doesn't work.
His cell phone's from the 90s. No, his car from the 40s.
Good car though. but yeah, so
I mean. I was going to say, the entrance to the Batcave is from Lego Batman. So, there you go. That's, when did that come out? 2017?
Lego Batman was 17 or 18.
I think it was 17. I don't know.
One of those. One Either of those. But if you guys have not figured it out yet, we are talking about Batman and Mr. Freeze, colon, Sub-Zero.
Why are we talking about Mr. Freeze, colon?
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
That's why it's called Sub-Zero?
He's about that age in the there you go. You know?
Perfect. Perfect.
And then he told me, trust me, I'm a doctor.
No, that was a doctor. That's it. Anyway. So this movie came out in 1998. It was a direct-to-video film.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fun. I really enjoyed it. Normally I would give like some budget, but there really wasn't a budget that I could find for this movie. So I'll just skip right past that and go.
They paid starving artists in food.
There you go.
Sure, why not? Now I'll just go right into the cast list. We get a lot of everybody that was in the animated series and also in the Batman Mask of the Phantasm that we covered couple months back. Same voice cast for all that. Mr. Freeze, same voice actor, Michael Anzara. Anzara? I think that's right. How you say it?
Yeah.
Anzara.
Sure.
There is a different Barbara Gordon. The Barbara Gordon that was in the TV show is, she's still around. The one that they hear in the movie, Mary Kay Bergman, did a good job, I think. She, interesting enough, I found out that she did all of the voices of the female characters in South Park for like the first three seasons.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ironically, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Between her, Matt and Trey, the creators, they did all the voices for the whole cast for those early seasons. The only reason that she, and this is, we're going to get a little somber note here for a second. The only reason that she was not the voice actress anymore is she committed suicide. So
Oh, did not know that.
Yeah, it's a rough patch that sucks. I do not know why. I didn't look into that part because as soon as I heard she did that, I'm like, I'm sorry. Like that's
Yeah.
We have Rahai Azizi as Kunak. There we go. Sorry. And then George Zendaza. I don't know how you say that last name.
Zunza?
Sure.
Zunza.
As Dr. Gregory like... Belson. Hey, you know what? It's fine. The cast was great. It fit. Obviously, Kevin Conroy as Batman. Lauren Lester as Dick Grayson. Robin. Like, those are iconic. Those are classic.
Yeah.
We also... also has Frank Welker as... Hotchka and Shashka, the polar bears. He was uncredited, but it's Frank Rucker. I mean, he's Fred. So
right.
I had to throw that name in there.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I definitely. Didn't realize they had any speaking parts.
Well, they were growling.
I just assumed that was generic. You know.
Oh, gotcha. Fair enough. All right. So you want to give your Ronald give your quick little snaps of the movie?
Absolutely.
And then we'll go into some of our favorite scenes.
So we have the movie starts out with Freeze living peacefully in the Arctic until some government assholes, you know, destroy his wife's cryogenic freezer.
Frasier.
Brandon Frasier. Batman and Robin foil a crime. Then they find out they're late for a date, but Alfred's there. Don't worry. And then Batgirl's really late because she stopped some rapist. Oh, speaking of which, that girl had a Walkman, so 80s or 90s again.
Time Freeze, is elusive in this series.
Yes.
Yeah. Freeze abducts a doctor who is in considerable
debt. A friend at that.
A colleague.
Yeah, a colleague.
Not a friend. A
co-worker.
Yeah. Abducts this doctor to help Nora. We get the weakest polar bears ever. cops who drive like they were trained to. Freeze beats Dick. He also kidnaps Batgirl, Barbara. Mm-hmm. Then when Barbara comes to, she fights her way through and climbs in through the air ducts.
Okay.
We find out that Bruce Wayne does insider training.
We'll get into that.
An abandoned oil rig, which is full of oil.
Yeah.
But don't worry, it's slow burning oil. So at the end, you know,
right.
It doesn't blow up right away. Freeze is saved by his polar bears. Bruce saves Nora. Happy ending.
Yay!
I don't feel like I missed anything.
No, that's basically it.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Jordan, is there any scenes that stuck out to you? We'll touch on a couple here and there, but what's the first one that kind of sticks out to you?
Well, I actually really enjoyed the opening sequence of them showing Freeze living peacefully. The one thing that was a little random to me was the little kid. That was like, I don't know, it was something I didn't remember. So, like I said, it'd been a long time since I'd seen the movie. I'm trying to think. Oh, you know what it was is when they get to the party that they're supposed to be at, and just like the dialogue between Gordon and
Dick,
and I don't know. It was a little wild to me, and just like
yeah, my daughter being is that, hard to get.
Yeah, my daughter. Yeah, exactly. And
been
then
trying since she was 18.
Wow!
It's. But it's I don't know. I thought that it fit well, pretty well in that universe. The Barbara Gordon voice did stick out to me a little bit, and to me, it honestly seemed like the voice actress got a little more comfortable as the movie went on.
Yeah,
it seemed like the beginning was very kind of, it felt forced where everybody else felt seasoned, and then she kind of I don't know eased her way into the film a little bit. But that was definitely the opening. I think to me was kind of a really nice way to get you sucked into the movie, and then it played out to me like a Batman the Animated Series episode would.
Yes.
Yeah. I think, and I did see this in a little bit of trivia, this was supposed to be an actual episode of the show, but they decided to hold off and expand on it, which is why we got the 66-minute treatment. So it would have been like three episodes, basically just a quick little story arc. I think it works better this way than it would have been on the show, because the show...
Agreed.
It would have probably... I'm not saying they would have to have played it down, but because there wasn't really a lot of violence in this, just the normal Batman animated series violence of hitting and you know, throwing your lagoons through windows.
Weak-ass polar bears.
Yeah.
But yeah, it works. Yeah, I agree with you, Jordan. It was really, it does feel like, you know, a episode. It goes along with it, honestly, better than the New Adventures did.
Yeah. I mean, there were some weird animation points throughout, and I don't know if that's because we're watching the restored version and somewhere along the lines you have to kind of compromise.
See, I was
thinking, here and there.
So in Master of the Phantasm, they started playing with CGI a little bit, and
okay.
You definitely saw that a lot in this one. When Batman and Robin hop in the Batplane, and
yes.
it starts to fly through, and then like the cave opens up, and then the what you call it doors open up. That's definitely CGI. Like you could tell. But yeah, like the animation changed a little bit, but it didn't take me out of it. You know, it flowed fairly well, I thought.
Yeah. Yes, the story was strong enough to not really. I mean, for those of us that are used to this universe, it's like one of those things that we just nitpick every now and again because we've all watched it so many times that we're like, when something sticks out like that, you're like, oh, okay, well that's there just because it looks a little different than what I'm used to. But no, I think it, like we talked about before, it played out like a great episode, and again, sort of stayed with the more adult theme in the room. It wasn't necessarily like a childish story by any means. I mean, he could have, let's be honest, he could have picked how many other people were there, eight other people aside from Barbara to go after.
I think it was eight matches. Yeah, Barbara Gordon's just the, oh, well, this name sticks out.
This name sticks out, rings a bell, and it's like, you really, I mean, if Barbara Gordon's that play, if she's that hard to pick up, can you just go grab somebody else?
Right?
But by the same token, I also, like, that's just me being a dick. But still,
but that's perfect for the show. That's what we do. We nitpick all the time. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's how we have gotten so far.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that stuck out to me a little bit too, though, was the character of his doctor friend and just how kind of manic and really crazy that guy is, in a sense, and how far Freeze was willing to go at a certain point. Because I feel like, whereas before we had seen him, especially in Heart of Ice, he tells Batman at certain points too, he's like, this is not your fight. Let me just do my thing. Get away from me. And then I won't bother you. But if you get in my way, I'm going to mess with you. And so he's like, I don't know.
That's one thing I've kind of noticed. Freeze has been one of those guys who, he was never a villain from the beginning. He was always one of those, I've got a problem, I want to fix it, this time I'm going to fix it. Yes, he's doing villainous things, which automatically makes him a villain, but he's not out there like killing people willy-nilly like Joker. So he's out there to save his wife.
He doesn't do it for fun, her. So to speak.
But he was going to commit premeditated murder to save his wife.
Yes. You're not wrong. Yeah. but they looked for dead ones first. Like, he's doing noble.
Yeah.
It was just out of the however many donors, thousands of donors, they just didn't have one that matched, apparently.
Yeah, I guess so. But what was crazy, and if, I mean, we're going to spoil the spoilers, and that's another one of my favorite moments, actually, is the end. I really enjoy that part where they're talking, they're giving the news broadcast about how Nora Freeze was saved via the organ transplant, and he hears it, and he sees it, and you just, like, he doesn't say anything. He just wipes
that tear
and walks away. I'm like, that's such
cast.
A Batman the Animated Series like thing to do.
Yeah, and it worked. Like, again, Freeze isn't really that big of a villain. He's just and especially with comics nowadays, I feel like a lot of the comics, Batman villains especially, they are trying to bring them out of being villains and actually giving them not convoluted backstory, but a backstory where a more sympathetic backstory.
Yeah.
Where they can get a redemption arc.
Yes. Like Poison Ivy, Clayface, Mr. Freeze, Harley for the most part.
I never thought Poison Ivy was a bad guy.
Well, yes, but like there's when my first introduction to her was Nightfall. And in Nightfall, she's just kissing these guys to kill them, like take control of them, become zombies, killing them left and right. Just because. Whereas nowadays, she's like, no, I'm going to save this rainforest. And if you come in to try to do anything with this rainforest, I'm going to kill you for that. So before it was killing just to kill. Now it's killing because of a purpose. Killing is still bad, yes. But it's, the scales of justice are just kind of whatever.
It's reached a weird point where it's like, let's face it, not every character needs their own comic book.
Correct.
Everybody, can have their own stories every now and again. And also, you don't need to do that necessarily to the villains if you don't put out as many Batman books. And coming from a Batman fan, many Batman books. You don't need 4 or 5 going on at a time, especially when you don't have some of the other cool characters out there. Like, you're going to sacrifice a Jason Todd book for another Batman book? Like, give people a Red Hood book because he's obviously got a big... I don't know. We're at, too.
I'm right there with you. Both Batman and Superman only need 2 titles. They need the action and the detective because those have been going on since the 30s and 40s. You need the Batman and the Superman because why not? That's it. You don't need mini series is fine. Like I am looking forward to Tom Taylor's Dark Detective or Batman the Detective. That looks like it's going to be great. But it's also going to be a mini series and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
It is going to be a mini series, right? I can't remember.
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay. Stuff like that, or even throwing a title like Batman Damned, for example, over on the Black Label. 3-issue series. You got to tell the story you want to tell. There you go.
Right.
You don't need, like, back in the heyday, you had Batman, you had Detective, you had Gotham Knights, you had Legends of the Dark Knight, you had Shadows of the Bat. He had, like, 6 or 7 titles all going at the same time. Like, why? It doesn't need to happen.
That's what they used to do.
Yeah, and it's old. But, I mean, it's old.
Amazing Spider-Man, Web of Spider-Man, Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Friendly
Neighborhood Spider-Man. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then they got rid of all that, and now Spider-Man's coming out 3 times a month.
Well, I'd rather have 3 times a month in one episode.
And one cohesive story than...
Exactly. Like, or...
Well, but in the 90s, and Jordan, you might be able to attest to this, in the 90s, Batman and Superman, they had 4 titles each, but they all were, like, crossing over with each other.
Yeah, that's what worked. Spider-Man did, too.
Yeah.
Like, the Maximum Carnage, Clone Sagas. That's true. You know, you had to... you need 1 and 2 of this one, then you need 6 and 7 of this one, then you need 295 and 406 of this one. I have the whole thing.
No, I know you do. Spider-Man Clone Saga, though?
Ugh.
That crossed over and then still was a problem.
It was because it was gross. It was just shit.
We're going to get to this.
I know.
Well, that's what happens when they just try to push too much. Like, less is more.
Yeah.
It was their way of trying to get you to set... to buy, 12 comics a month. It's the same thing when, like...
Oh, X-Men fell into that, obviously.
X-Men would cross over with X-Force and Excalibur and all that shit. And it's like, I just want one story where I can buy one set of comics and get the whole story.
Yeah, you don't get that. I feel like you get that more now, though. Like, they've kind of gone away from the crossing over as much. Like, it's not a...
They'll still do a big event.
Like, a one... Yeah, big event crossover. But anymore, it's Batman title is this. Spider-Man title is this.
Yeah.
Venom and Carnage, that's that whole thing. Like, that is set in the event, especially here recently with Donny Cates.
Right.
That's set in the Venom books. And then there was a big event that crossed over into every other book. But the main thing was just in Venom. So.
Yeah. And then you don't have writers trying to tell each other that... where Batman is in their story is more important than where Batman is in the other person's story. And so it feels like a constant battle to like where the fuck he's going to be. And you're just like, let's just put him in. I don't know.
I'm right there with you. It's
frustrating.
I'm both happy with them trying to keep everything canonically. But then when you get into a situation where this writer wants to do this with this guy Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, well, we have to file suit, I guess, because you're a big name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. You know,
can we talk a little bit about the Elfman score in this movie, that they definitely used that more than the Shirley Walker stuff, I feel like.
So is the Shirley Walker from the show then?
Yeah, she did the Batman the Animated Series stuff more. And then this one just felt like it was weirdly pulled somewhat out of Tim Burton's Batman universe. That's,
yeah, because we were we normally don't watch the credits, but we just had it playing. And he's like, hey, that's Danny Elfman's score. I'm like, well, that makes sense because, you know, the original opening for the series, the cartoon series, was based off the 89 Batman. So
yeah, she just transposed it a little bit.
So, okay, yeah, no, that it definitely felt better. Like it felt more like a Batman.
Yeah, it was weird because it's and you get moments where like the big yellow logo comes across the screen too, and you're just like, did they have that at all in the animated universe, or is that more or less shown in like? Yeah, I was like, yeah. So that's why certain parts of that were like, okay, so where? And then I was like, okay, well, maybe this came out in like 93. Oh no, it's 98. Okay, interesting. And that's supposed to be after all the stuff. But then again, that's after all the. Now that I'm thinking about it, all the
after the series
where that logo is basically the prominent Batman logo still today. So it's like.
So I'll jump into one of the fun facts here real quick. This was originally set to release in the summer of 1997, but held back because of the negative reception following the release of Batman and Robin, which also featured Mr. Freeze as the antagonist. So nevertheless, upon release, the film received strongly positive reviews compared to Batman and Robin.
Well,
so, yeah,
that's hard.
Right?
Like... Yeah, it was, but I feel it was one of those. It was back to what people knew for the Batman, because everybody loved Batman animated series, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
3 years of it, and then obviously another one in 2003 when they brought it back.
We're still making the same mistakes, freaking almost 30 years later.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's,
dude,
yeah, you're right.
So freaking annoying. It's like just leave them. You hire an artist for a reason. Just let them do it regardless of what the outcome is. If you don't like what the artist is going to do with it, don't freaking hire the artist. Hire somebody else. Write your own story. What are you doing, people? You're killing me.
Hey, the both good and bad thing about this episode will come out after the Snyder Cut, so we can't give our like awesome reactions. Shut up.
Okay.
He's not a Snyder fan. Well, he's not a... Hey. I don't want to say not a Snyder fan. He's not a fan of... what the movies are. And that's fine. We have talked about it, and that's fine.
I like Birds of Prey.
Same universe. But yeah, this will come out after that, so we can't talk about it just yet because we haven't watched it yet.
Yeah. No.
I'm excited.
I think there are gonna be plenty of episodes of people giving their opinions on with a Snyder Cut afterwards. And hey, regardless of whether you like it or not, like there are going to be people that don't like it, and for us that already have a predisposition to have liked the other movies are probably mm-hmm. going to enjoy it more. But that's...
Yes.
I can say that the trailers make it look a hell of a lot better.
Thank you.
Because even the original trailers from the first release were not good.
The first trailer was amazing. The original first trailer.
Well, I'm talking about the ones that I saw, like, you know, in ads before.
Yeah. Well, yeah, yes, but we're going off way off topic here. But the original first trailers... were amazing. It was the ones that were put out after Snyder left. That's when it starts to be bad. And then the movie itself was bad. So
yeah.
Woof.
Yeah, yeah. We're years away from that, but
that's literally a 5-hour podcast because it's literally 2.5 hours talking about the background for the movie. And then mm-hmm. it's 2.5 hours of talking about the movie.
It's
crazy because every time we talk about the movie, you have to talk about the background of the movie,
yeah,
which I'm sure to the people who don't want to hear about the Snyder Cut anymore, that's where they get annoyed because they're like, I don't want to fucking hear about the background of the story. Just give me the movie already. Like, you know?
Right. Right there with you. Yep.
Ugh, okay. So crazy,
let's,
man.
Let's get off of that. Come back to the movie we're talking about.
Yes.
We got off a lot of tangents. Now, we're getting off of tangents. Normally, that means the movie we watched sucked. Captain America. That sucked. Kansas was great. 1979 Captain America. So cool.
Yeah.
Okay. I gotcha.
This movie was, I really like this movie. So we'll get to our ratings there at the end, but I'll continue on with my fun facts because I have a few of them actually.
Go for it.
We got way off the rails.
No.
Okay. The Batman creator Bob Kane died 8 months after the film's release, making this film the last adaptation of the character that Kane would live to see. I do want to point out Bill Finger was also a creator. I have to point that out because he is. But this is all coming from IMDb that probably hasn't been changed for who knows how long. A sequel entitled Batman Arkham, not tied to the games, was greenlit by Warner Brothers. Board Kirkland would return to write and direct, and the cast of Batman the Animated Series would reprise their roles from the TV series, along with Angie Harmon, Harmon as a new character. Stephen Gordon also drew some concept art and character design. The plot involved Batman and Robin fighting some Arkham Asylum escapees. The project was canceled in favor of Batman Beyond Return of the Joker, which I did like Return of the Joker. We'll get there. I watch that one a lot.
I was going to say, I mean, that's a pretty good movie to, yeah, if you're going to cancel something in favor for.
I'm okay with that cancellation. This is the second film set in the DC animated universe. I believe the first one would have been Batman Mask of the Phantasm.
Mm-hmm.
The numerous addresses shown in the film place Gotham City within the state of New York, and all phone number, area codes, and zip codes correspond to New York City. New York was one of the original inspirations for Gotham City, which you've talked about in Enter the Night, where I think the opening, I think episode or issue 2 or 3, they actually call it New York City or New York.
That's correct. I mean, we're just about 20 issues deep, and they still have not referred to Gotham City yet. So okay. It still all takes place in New York as of right now.
Okay. When Freeze and Belson are looking up Barbara at the hospital, her information on the computer says she's 20 years old, which makes sense because the reason why Dick Grayson wasn't in Mask of the Phantasm was because he's in college, which 17, 18,
so
college years.
What you're saying is Dick was giving wine to a minor.
Who says that was wine? All of them in there were kids.
Do we know that?
It could have been champagne. They look like kids. Champagne's
still alcohol. Could have
been sparkling grape juice.
All right, maybe.
All right.
Well, they technically never got to drink it.
Yeah,
they all got spilled on Dick, and then afterwards, Mr. Freeze decides to come in with a couple of polar bears.
Which, that was a fun scene.
Very well trained polar bears, by the way.
Weakest polar bears ever.
So that scene was I like that one because Freeze comes in. Nobody knows who he is, apparently, except for Dick Grayson and Barbara Gordon. Even though he is later on in the movie.
The notorious villain.
Yeah, they say that he's well known throughout all of Gotham. Except for nobody there knew. But then again, maybe they weren't in Gotham.
They were, quote unquote, up the coast. How far up the coast they were?
Yeah.
Not quite sure.
About 2 miles.
We're not quite sure how far Dick got.
That's a good point.
But he comes in, asks for Barbara. And then as soon as he's taking her away, Dick decides to go and try and fight Mr. Freeze. But instead of whenever something would happen, he sits there and watches first and then reacts. Like the bad motor skills. The polar he's sitting on top of Mr. Freeze about ready to punch him. And then the polar bear growls and he stops and looks at him instead of rushing out of the way. Or the chandelier that's about ready to crash on
punching.
Him. Yeah, or finish punching. Or the chandelier that's gonna crash on him. He just sits there and looks at it and waits. Okay, now roll.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a fun scene.
Drama!
Basically.
Let's see here. The screen where Freeze and Belson are looking up possible donors for Nora, when it shows Barbara's info, her address says Gotham City, New York. So
mm-hmm.
I guess it's also says she only weighs 110 pounds.
Yeah, which, no. Barbara... I would say probably what, $130, $145.
Well, if she's got enough muscle to do what she does, I'd put her at probably $140 at.
Okay. Barbara Gordon only appears in her Batgirl costume near the beginning of the film.
Mm-hmm.
The MPAA logo appears in the end credits, but the film's rating is still unknown. I find that interesting. Then the last one here is, towards the beginning of the movie, Commissioner Gordon is discussing Barbara with Dick. That sounds so bad.
At least she wasn't discussing Dick with Barbara.
That's true.
intercut with some scenes of Batgirl beating up some muggers, much the same way Batman foiled a prison getaway while Harvey Dent discussed Bruce with Pamela Isley in the animated series episode Pretty Poison. So, nice little fun comparison there.
It's a very distinct comparison.
Let's be honest. These animators tend to reuse animations. Okay, so.
If we're talking about reusing animation, let's talk about Disney.
Oh yeah, no, I'm pointing at Disney in general.
everything that was made before, like what, 1980, they had the same skeleton. There was,
I saw a video of Winnie the Pooh and Jungle Book.
Well, it's matching Winnie the Pooh, Jungle Book, Robin Hood, Aristocats.
Yeah, Robin Hood, Aristocats.
They all have.
I'm like picturing it all in my head now that you guys are saying that, and it's like the same frames. Like,
yes,
and it's not
totally right.
It's totally not a bad thing because that was our childhood.
We
loved it.
It's fucking lazy.
Well, yes. But I also think a lot of that was toward, especially Jungle Book and what's the other one? I should be tapping on the table like I was.
Winnie the Pooh.
No.
Robin Hood.
They were kind of in that era where it was transition of artists and also closing in on the dark time of Disney. So,
but it's the fact that they used the same model of the design for different characters, and they fit so well.
That's better. That's good for their storytelling, I think, than really is for them being lazy.
You know, it's pretty lazy.
I mean, it's still lazy, but
I just picture the dance in my head, the same dance, like frames. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about now that you mentioned it. Did not know that before.
All right, what are some of my notes here? Oh, I have a note here saying that all the bears want to do is just give bear hugs. That's all they were trying to do.
Pretty much.
They were just asking where their fish were.
Basically. Can we agree that Belson dies?
Oh, yes. Yeah, he's definitely dead.
Absolutely.
Oh, he's definitely part of our... Okay.
I was kind of disappointed the polar bears didn't eat him.
Yeah.
Like after he got rotisseried in the fire.
Although they had a little oily... taste to them. Let's see. I know at one point during the party, Dick asked Bruce advice on women. And that's when whatever the one summer, I think her name was.
Ronnie,
yes. Comes up as like, hey, Bruce, these women want to meet you. And I'm just like, oh, so your plan, your advice is play hard to get and then get them all. I mean, that's a good plan, I guess.
And aren't they? I think those are the same women that are in Mask of the Phantasm that are at the party. Like,
oh my God, you're right.
They probably are.
I think they are. The designs are definitely very similar, but I think that they are.
Yeah, no, I think you're right on that one. I still can't get over the abandoned oil rig with the oil/fuel still in there.
A ton of fuel. Not even just a little bit, like. And that's the whole where they shoot it, and it's just like gushing out.
Mm-hmm.
No bueno.
No.
Although Barbara does call him a moron, she stop shooting, you moron.
They shoot again.
Oil rig. What are you doing?
I do what I want. See?
Yeah, basically.
Is there any other scenes that stuck out to either one of you two?
Okay. Boz, what the fuck's Belson? The doctor? Huh?
Belson.
His fucking weird ass blue eyes.
Yeah, his eyes were weird.
Like, he had the pupil and the retina, and then he had no, he had pupil and the iris, but he had no whites of his eyes.
Well, that's I think just the R style, because Dick Grayson even had just the pupil and the iris. Now, no white eyeball, but his was blue, like bright blue. Yes,
yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking creepy. Oh, also. Shit, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, okay. The beginning. When the polar bears, you know, when he's stealing the fish.
Oh, yeah.
I was really hoping the polar bears were going to, like, try to attack him.
But well, yeah, because you don't know what's going on at the moment. But, yeah.
Right.
The, they never really did say why those, the government group, the submarine was there.
They were collecting data.
Yeah. Okay. On what?
How to piss off a supervillain.
Apparently.
And pretty much. Also, and then what happened? I'm assuming those people just were never recovered.
Yeah,
they all frozen down there, dead.
Yeah.
Yep. They'll be found a couple centuries from now.
Yeah. And maybe they can rethaw them. Demolition Man style.
There you go.
It works. I can't think of anything else. I think we've kind of gone over everything. Is there anything else to check out to you, Jordan?
Not really. Again, just a movie that I hadn't watched in a long, long, long time that really definitely, I think, a little more suited towards it. I mean, you could have kids watch it, but there's some points where it's, I think it's suited towards adults a little more so than it is.
It's children. Similar to the 90s animation for anything. It's created for kids with a lot of adult, not innuendo, but situations is the right word either. Adults will appreciate it too.
Content. And right.
There we go. Content works, I guess. All right, last thing.
I forgot one thing.
Okay.
Barbara flirting with a 12-year-old.
that does was, happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You should try to get her cute yourself, out. Lady.
I mean, that was, yeah, she was just trying to escape. It didn't go well, obviously.
It worked out in the end.
Yeah. And she also saved him, so, you know. You want to go ahead and give the our bingo?
Okay. So, right away, the whole reason for this film happening at all, government interference.
Yep.
If they wouldn't have popped the fucking sub out in the middle of nowhere, or at least checked what they were doing.
At least in the middle of nowhere, not in his cave.
Well, exactly. Oh, there's a cave. Sure, there's nothing living in there.
Yeah.
Because even if it was polar bears in there, they just ruined their habitat, you know?
Yeah. Well, they also stated at the beginning that, you know, so cold up there, no one could live up there. Mr. Freeze makes sense. What about Kunak? Like, how's he surviving?
Eskimo? I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I
just adjusted to the environment, I guess, maybe. Unless he's got his own special heated room or something. I don't know.
Well, he does have a little fire thing in that room that he was in.
That's true. That's true.
And Freeze does bring him everything.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay.
We had unexplainable science. Oh, yeah, that's number two.
Yeah.
which would be, well, first off, her being cryogenically frozen but her suspended animation was literally suspended in fluid.
Yeah.
As opposed to actually being frozen. Dead parents on Konak.
Yeah, so we do count that one.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Comic book logic, which would cover them picking Barbara's name.
Yep.
It would also cover the oil not exploding right away.
Mm-hmm.
Covers why the polar bears listen to Freeze.
I mean,
and why they're such bitches. Little pussies.
Little bears.
They're big bears.
Anyway.
then we have reformed bad guy, mm-hmm. which would be at the end.
Freeze there at the end.
Freeze does end up helping them. I mean, to help himself and his wife. But still, he
didn't have to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then betrayal by a friend because Kunak does save Barbara from Freeze and Creepy Blue Eyes.
Yep.
So yeah. So we got a bingo on that one.
Yay! Every movie. This is our
fourth or fifth
bingo. I don't know. Every movie we do, we have a list and we go down it. If we get that's five, awesome. It's a bingo.
Yep.
Hey.
One of these days, we'll actually make a board. I don't think we should because then we won't get bingos.
We'd have to make a board for each person that's on. And
oh then God!
See if they got the bingo.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, that's why we'll just do it this
way. Cool.
It's a lot of work.
Okay, good luck, gentlemen. Yeah. So let's go ahead and give our rating. Jordan, this is a rating out of 10. Hey, did I say it right this time?
Hey, it wasn't out of 7?
Yeah, not a 7. And decimals, similar to what you guys do for the Squadcast films, only I didn't like Tim's method of five, so I went up to 10.
No, that's totally fine. I like 10 better, too. It gives you, I feel like, a little bit more broad of a range. Mm-hmm. You're not,
and we've got like 200 comic book movies to watch, so yeah. We need all everything.
I'm going to go with a solid 8 on this one. Because I think Mask of the Phantasm for me is like a 10. And nice. This one, I don't think quite hits Mask of the Phantasm level, but I don't think it's bad by any stretch of the imagination. I think it's pretty awesome. So I'll go with a solid 8 on it. 8.0.
That makes it nice and easy.
Sounds good. What you got?
I'm going to give it a 7.5.
Okay.
I liked it. I liked it a lot. But there were still storyline issues, I guess, and a lot of bad superheroing.
Well, that's another thing. Like, obviously, we didn't get a lot of Batgirl in this movie, and we actually didn't get a ton of Batman and Robin. This is really more of a Mr. Freeze and Barbara Gordon movie than anything else, which isn't bad, but. Yeah, the way Batman...
Call it Batgirl and Mr. Freeze?
Kind of, yeah. I know we were joking about Batman's detective skills in this. It just reminded us way too much of Batman 66.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's fine, but I feel like the show definitely made him out to be a better detective at times than this did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
Myself, I think I will give this 7.5 is actually a good score. So I think I'll do that as well.
Yeah, you guys got a lot of movies to rate too, so it's all a matter of where you're keeping scores relative to where
exactly
movie scores are gonna be there in the future.
We've had one or two tie. I can't remember which ones they were. I think
Batman,
Mask of the Phantasm,
and Doctor Strange.
Okay. 1978 Doctor Strange, which is made for TV movie. Very fun. Nice. So the combined score for this one puts it at a 7.67 if you round up.
Pretty good score. I'd say that's
not bad. And that will
that is actually extremely appropriate for the film. Yeah, that's.
I mean, it will put it. Where were we at here? That would put it at number 2, just below Superman 1978. So, and just above Flash Gordon, the greatest adventure of all. I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's pretty good.
So, not too shabby. This is our which one is this? This is our 12th. I think it's our 12th. Yeah. So we're slowly but surely getting there.
Hey, you'll get there.
Yeah, we got
there. It's a lot of fun, man. It's crazy to see how, with all that, like, people like to, I don't know, people that don't understand the niche environment of comic books like to just throw it all into one. And it's like, no, they're all very different. There's some that are pretty similar, but they're all very different.
And there's some that play off of each other. Another fun fact that I wasn't in the IMDb, but I read somewhere else. Apparently, this film was supposed to be a tie-in to Batman and Robin. But obviously, with Nora surviving at the end of this one, kind of changed everything.
I wonder if that was like a last-minute note, if that's because they were planning on doing that, and then they decided maybe not to, and then they just
did that
on as a wrap-up.
And Batman and Robin failed critically at the box office, so...
Right.
Changed it up a little bit, which is another reason why it got pushed back.
You mean
too.
All the one-liners didn't save it?
Dude, look, when we get to that movie,
I'm
gonna have such a blast. I don't think you'll have to. I think it'll probably all be in IMDb.
You know what movie's gonna be interesting? I'm curious for you fellas to discuss is Batman Forever. Because there's like some redeeming qualities about that movie that I really enjoy as a guilty pleasure. I'm like, man, I don't know why.
Drew with Barrymore Val Kilmer in that white outfit, that was redeeming.
There you go.
And that's another one of those that, with the backstory behind it,
yes,
can change the outcome. So, don't know.
We'll see.
I don't know.
I appreciate you fellas for having me on, though. Thank you.
Of course. Jordan, awesome. You're always welcome to come on. Thanks, please, man. Give a shout-out to all your stuff and let everybody know where they can find you.
Oh, sure. You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram, at Jordan Funky. If you guys would like, I'm part of the Squadcast Media Network, where we have a bunch of different shows. I don't have them all listed in front of me, so I apologize if I forget any. We have DC Films Squadcast. We have DC TV Squadcast. We have Fans Without Borders. We have Marvel Squadcast. We have the Horror Comics Podcast, Enter the Night Podcast, and DC Comics Squadcast. And so I'm a co-host on DC Comics Squadcast as well as Enter the Night, Batman issue by issue that just came out as well. So if you guys could head on over and anywhere you guys pretty much get podcasts, you guys can find us. So yeah, just head on over and check it out. If you guys like, we got all your bases covered. So if you like anything, we got Marvel, we got DC, and then Fans Without Borders covers a lot of like the Star Wars, Star Trek sort of universes and all that jazz too. And we have Patreon and all that stuff too. So you guys head on over wherever you guys get your podcasts. You guys can find out some more information. So thanks, fellas. It's been a blast. Yeah,
you guys do a wonderful job over there. And I have no qualms whatsoever giving you guys money for Patreon. So
I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Places you can find podcasts. I can listen to us on Spotify.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I put on. Okay.
Dude, don't look at me like that.
All right. Whatever. You know what? That's fine.
That so, yeah. I have no reason to keep my Podcast Addicts.
I need to switch over from Podcast Addict to Spotify only because that's the only place I can get Last Podcast on the Left.
Dude. But, can we talk about Last Podcast on the List, or should we hit record, stop recording first?
Well, yeah, hold on. Let me finish it up here real quick. I want to give a shout out to, we'll talk about that off mic. Shout out to Cam for our music. You can check him out at Wreck My Podcast. He's half of the Sex Turtles, one half of the Sex Turtles. You can get our shirts over at redbubble.com or at tpublic.com. Links will be in the show notes. Let's see, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts because that's the only place I ever look.
I told you that. You just have them tell you when they rate you.
Well, yeah, you can tell us where you rate us. You can find that on, you can let us know on Instagram or Twitter at Comic Rundown, Instagram Comic Book Rundown, or you can send emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. Our next film that we're covering is Captain America 2, Death Too Soon.
Are you sure it's too soon?
It's definitely too soon.
Not so, even for his death.
No, it's still too soon. But again, Jordan, thank you for coming on here.
Thank you, fellas.
We'll catch you guys next time.
See ya.